Now listen to the word of our God from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now in the following instructions, the Apostle Paul says, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear among you who are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat in and drink in, or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you in this matter? I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. This is the word of the Lord. Today again, in this sermon, I call attention to our strategic theme, that we are becoming a healing and reconciling congregation. When talking about the Corinthian church, Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 12, You are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. Give greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. But members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. When the body of Christ is wounded, and all are suffering because of it, who heals the body of Christ? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are your body. We are gathered to hear your word and share your meal. Feed us now by your real presence and by the power of your Spirit. Heal us as we give you the desires and abilities that we have to work together as your body. Amen. In his biblical commentary, John Calvin said of this text in 1 Corinthians, The sacraments have a tendency to exercise us in piety and love. Love, that is, toward God, toward one another, and love toward the world. Calvin also said of this text, There ought never to be a coming together without some fruit, that is, fruit of the Spirit, that we grow into, like kindness, patience, joy, love, peace, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Where the Word of God is listened to and the sacraments administered, progress should be made in holiness of life, to put off the old self, and to advance in newness of life. Calvin goes on to assess the Corinthian situation. Everyone was so much taken up with his own interests that he was not prepared to accommodate himself to others. Everyone exalted himself and despised others. Then Calvin puts the capper on his analysis of the Corinthian trouble by saying, a thing is not done at all if it is not done right. Wow. From Calvin's perspective, it seems it would be better not to even attempt the Lord's Supper if we are not growing and looking out for one another's best in the church. And we are not growing in the practices of mutual love to make the church a stronger community of Christ. Because communion is not just about me or you as an individual. It is about us together as the body of Christ. How we treat each other, how we serve one another, how we care about each other, how we make peace with one another. How many of us came here today to partake communion for our own benefit? How many of us come to the table of Jesus to have our individual sins forgiven and feel personally closer to God? How many of us are here for what we get out of communion personally and individually? But Calvin invites us to ask a different kind of question. How many of us have come to have communion so that we will be better empowered to look out for one another, so we will resolve our conflicts and grow stronger as the body of Christ? How many of us have come to share the body of Christ in order to see any divisions in this congregation healed? Communities or organizations do not accomplish much if there are rifts in their ranks. The church loses a significant part of its witness and mission power to the world if it persists in being divided. The witness of Christ to the world through the church is hampered when the church shows the world its refusal or its inability to heal schism. We are tempted to become so wrapped up in the trouble of our own life together that we forget we exist to bring the good news of God's love and Christ's grace to the world around us. We begin to think that the church is for me and not for us together or for the world. This is one of the difficulties of the Presbyterian Church USA as a denomination today, when we fight such inner battles over and over and over again. We somehow then forget that we are a mission to the whole world. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 13, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. There's only one clear mark that the world sees that Jesus is present in the church. And that is that there's a striking difference that we have in this place from the rest of the world, that we actually love one another. Jesus said these words, according to John, when he was at the Last Supper with his disciples. After Judas had received bread from the hand of Jesus, and after Judas went out into the night to betray him, Jesus said these words when he knew that the disciples were divided. Judas was betraying him, Peter would deny him, and all of them would desert him. Jesus said these words in full recognition that his body of followers, right here with whom he had shared his body and his blood, were in distress, in conflict, and deeply divided. We know that our world is profoundly broken into conflicted nations, tribes, and partisan groups. Our country is deeply divided between embattled political parties, competing organizational goals, divergent religious purposes, and colliding personal desires. The Corinthian church, according to this letter from Paul, existed in, as the Greek word says, schismata. Their schisms were greatly known to Paul and to even to outsiders. Their divisiveness betrayed who they desired to be and what they portrayed to the world as the unified and integrated body of Christ. What they said they were and what they really practiced were two different things. Paul wanted them to be healed from their divisions to come together around Christ. But they continued to be pulled apart by their own interests and behaviors. Five times in these verses, Paul asserts they are coming together, but for the wrong results. Paradoxically, when they came together physically, they revealed how truly divided they were, relationally and spiritually. He says, when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. When you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. When you come together, wait for one another, parentheses, because you aren't waiting for one another. And when you come together, eat your personal meals at home, so it will not lead you to your own condemnation, since, by the way, in parentheses, you are practicing such self-indulgence. The Greek word repeated here for coming together is at the root of our very contemporary term, synergy. When the Corinthians came together, rather than gain synergy, they lost it. The irony was that their very gatherings revealed how truly fragmented they were. Their coming together showed how they were falling apart. Their superficial attempt at unity uncovered, in fact, their deepest disunity. They were showing the world the very opposite of the nature of Christ and the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Even Aristotle understood that coming together of citizens as the city or polis could accomplish a common good. As he said, for it is possible that the many, though not individually good people, yet when they come together may be better, not individually but collectively. For when there are many, each individual may be, it may be argued, has some portion of virtue and wisdom. And when they have come together, just as the multitude becomes a single man, with many feet, with many hands, and many senses, so also it becomes one person as regards the moral and intellectual faculties. Aristotle affirmed the importance of a unified body politic. Humanity around us hungers for the possibility and the reality of a clear demonstration of oneness that's made visible and doable. The church, this congregation, is called by God to demonstrate unity in our disparity and diversity of opinions. If nothing else is true about NPC, we are a congregation of very opinionated people. And some have said, we are an opinionated people on steroids. The church, this church, is called to be radically different than the commonly known and exacerbated pattern of a dissident and dissonant Washington, D.C. We need to countermand the wider American political penchant for extreme partisanship. We are called by Christ to heal our divisions, not to amplify our differences. We are called by the Spirit of God to be together around Jesus. When we are tempted to hunker down into our individual battle bunkers and take shots at each other, the church must behave differently. As Paul was surprisingly written, there is a good outcome to going through the chemistry of conflict. Factions ironically reveal the truth about themselves and how they handle the conflict. Their attitudes and actions reveal who is genuine and who is phony in the love of Christ. Remember the story of Solomon and the two mothers? The baby of one mother died, then claimed to be the mother of another woman's baby. The conflict revealed which mother was telling the truth and which one was not. The true mother refused to have her child killed, while the false mother didn't really care. Amazingly, Paul says it is necessary to have conflict. It is real. It is an ordinary reality of every relationship, community, group, and organization to have conflict. There have to be factions, Paul says, among you, so that it will become clear who among you, in fact, are genuine. Authenticity and genuine love are proven in the face of conflict. As we see how people act and react to one another, their true colors really show. We see who is mature and immature. We see who is functioning out of resentment and who is flowing into a river of reconciliation. We see who is entrenched and who is open to change. We see who is driven by fear and who is led by love. We see who is kind and who is obnoxious. We see who is patient and who is pathological. We see who is nurturing and who is neurotic. And in the midst of our conflicts, we see who is living in the spirit and who is living in the flesh. We see who is full of themselves or who is full of Christ. We see who feeds on their own agendas and those who feed on the real presence of Jesus. We see who is approved by God and who approves themselves. We see who is humble and who enjoys humiliating others. We see who examines themselves and who has declared themselves to be the Inquisition. We see who has judged themselves before God and who has decided to take God's place to pass judgment on others. We see who, those who in fact attack and abuse, or those who restore and reconcile. Conflict reveals our true character. Individualism and party advocacy is doing what it's always done as damage to the church. The church is meant to be one body of Christ. While each individual is loved by Christ and is important to us all in the church cannot be a place where every individual does or gets what he or she wants without sensitivity to everyone else. Paul calls the church the body of Christ. NPC is a body of Christ in Northwest Washington, D.C. It is not to be a disconnected collection of individual advocates and consumers, each lobbying to get what he or she wants from the church. When you come to participate in and join the National Presbyterian Church, you commit yourself to be integrated into the whole body. You are no longer a free agent. You are in the community. And when you join the community, you commit yourself to meeting each other's needs as well as your own. This is counter-cultural. The current interpretation of the American way of life says you as an individual have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the way we practice that is to say, I have the right to what I want when I want it. In the church, we tend to be just like the culture. I am coming to this church because it feeds me and it meets my needs. Paul would say to us today, you should come to this church to feed others and to meet the needs of others. In doing so, your needs for meaning will be met. You join the church to serve others, not so that others will serve you. In America today, churches are in crisis because individuals are pouring into them who demand to have their own individual or family needs met, but frankly don't want to invest in the common good of the body of Christ. If a church is being built around meeting individual needs, it does not exist as a place of meeting mutually interdependent needs. It does not exist as a body, but as a collection of self-centered individuals. Now, there's some good news at the front door for self-centered people, or in our case, at the back door where most of us come in. We welcome you to come as you are. We invite you to take a long look at Jesus, to be your Savior and Lord. For Jesus wants to meet you face to face and meet your deepest needs, your need for God, your need for human community, your need for eternal purpose and meaning. Jesus wants to save you from your rampant self-centeredness and from a culture of addictive consumerism. Jesus wants to save you from being imprisoned by your own wants and needs and demands. Jesus wants to save you, to free you to serve others inside this body and outside into the world. Jesus wants to save us from ourselves, our own narrow perspectives, our own limited expectations, our own narcissistic self-determinations, our own drives, hungers, and desires that put me first and you second. Jesus wants to save us to live an eternal life in heavenly community right here today, right now. Ken Blanchard, a well-known business consultant who wrote the famous One-Minute Manager, has since become a passionate follower of Jesus Christ and a consultant even for the church in church leadership, discipleship, and building Christian community. Blanchard, in a presentation on sharing your gifts and serving the body of Christ, told this now famous parable about the nature of good and bad community. There was a woman who had a dream about heaven and hell. An angel took her to hell. It was a huge banquet room where gourmet food of all kinds was piled on the tables. And lined up on each side of the tables were hungry and starving people trying to eat. But there was great wailing and bitter complaining in the hall for every person who had come to the table with broken arms and in fact had straight casts on each arm. And when they tried to raise the food to their own mouths, they could not get the food into their own mouths. They were starving in front of the glorious meal and they were angry and resentful. The angel took the same woman to heaven. It too was a great banquet hall. The people were gathered around tables, chatting and laughing and enjoying being together. She noticed that these too had broken arms with straight arm casts. That these too could not feed themselves because the cast would not permit it. But she noticed a significant difference from hell. The people at the tables had learned while they could not feed themselves, they could turn and feed one another. And so each person listened to the desires of their neighbors and fed each other the food they hungered for at the great feast. We are not here today to feed ourselves. We are here today to be fed by Jesus. This is His table. And we are called to feed one another, to serve one another, to love one another. And we pass the bread and the cup to one another with the words of Jesus. Now, we're not going to take this parable literally today. And have you put the bread in each other's mouths and the cup up to each other's lips? Although I thought about it. But we are going to share the Lord's Supper with a view to Calvin's concern that we in doing so grow in our passion to love, care for, serve God and one another. And in doing so, learn to feed the others around us, even the poor in spirit and the hungry in body, even those outside these walls. The bottom line is this. We cannot heal this body ourselves. We are so personally self-indulgent and self-driven. Only Jesus Christ in God's presence here at the table by the power of the Spirit can heal this body. And so it is that Jesus laid down His life and became the broken body that He might offer this to us that we might become the healed and unified body of Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, we now invite You in the love of God the Father, the grace of who You are, and the power and community of the Holy Spirit to help us to be a healed community and to reach out into the world with Your reconciling power. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.